reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. "One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday we celebrated the Feast of the Lord's Epiphany, his manifestation to all the nations, represented by the three wise men. Today we celebrate another of his manifestations, or in fact, what the Father manifested at his baptism, that he was his beloved Son, that the Father was well pleased in him. This Feast of the Lord's Baptism, like yesterday on the Feast of the Epiphany, it was not only the Lord's Epiphany, but our Epiphany in response to his manifestation. So the Lord's Baptism is an opportunity for us to remember our own, to manifest to ourselves and to others whether Christ truly lives within. It's interesting, John the Baptist's words that Jesus, who would come after him, whose sandals he did not feel worthy to untie, would baptize not merely with water, but with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? To die in the Spirit. Baptism was always looked by the fathers of the church as a drowning. To die to ourselves, mortify ourselves, mortify the life of the flesh, so that we would be able thereby to live the newness of life that the Holy Spirit gives us. And the great characteristic of that life according to the Holy Spirit is that we not only hear the Father say about us what he said about Jesus at that baptism in which Jesus made the waters of baptism holy. "You are my beloved Son, you are my beloved daughter with whom I'm well pleased." But that we actually begin to live as sons and daughters of the Father. There's a part in St. Paul's letter to the Romans in which St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit comes to intercede for us with inexpressible groanings to teach us how to pray. And he teaches us how to pray not by putting words in our lips, but by changing who we are when we pray, so that we're able to pray as beloved sons and daughters of the Father, so that the Holy Spirit within us helps us to cry out, "Abba, Father," in recognition of what the Father has done for us in baptism. It's important for us on this day to remember what baptism does and how it's supposed to lead us, as St. Paul says, to true newness of life. That newness, which is supposed to be the exclamation point of the entire Christmas season, which comes to its conclusion today. That newness of life involves divine filiation, our true consciousness that we are beloved sons and daughters of God. That's supposed to impact not just our prayer, but our life. At every moment, no matter what we do, that God the Father loves us so much. Once we recognize that, then everything else changes, especially when we have to deal with difficult things throughout the day. 110 years ago today, St. Jose Maria Escrivá was born in Barbastro, Spain. And there was one time that occurred to him on a streetcar in Madrid in which this whole notion that we are God's beloved sons and daughters hit him like it had never hit him before. He started babbling like a madman on that streetcar. "Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father." It hit him. For most of us, it has never hit us yet what it truly means to know that God the Father says of us what he said about Jesus. You, not the person next to you, you are my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. It changes everything once we recognize that, the whole way we live our faith. To recognize that we are God the Father's beloved sons helps us to recall our dignity and makes it so much easier for us to have a consciousness of the holiness of life to which the Father calls us. But it also helps us to recognize something else which needs to be stressed in the church. That because we are beloved sons and daughters of the Father, that we are true spiritual siblings, that we are brothers and sisters of each other, more connected by the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us in the sacrament of baptism, than we would be related to somebody else by blood or genes. Most of us don't live that way. Most of us can say, hey, yeah, we're both Christians, the same way that we'd say, hey, we're both from Massachusetts, or that we're both members of this political party, or we're both fans of the same sport team, or we're both alumni of the same high school or college. But the most defining thing that should relate us to any other human being in the world should be the grace of baptism. When someone else has been baptized and we have been baptized, do we look at them with the eyes of the Eternal Father? Once we do, everything changes. If this person who might annoy the living daylights out of us is God the Father's much and well-beloved son or daughter, that should obviously change the way we look at that person. The challenge for us is to live our baptismal state, to live according to our baptismal graces, to live with that consciousness, to live always in the Father's love. You know, it was interesting, very interesting. There are lots of things that I still haven't quite figured out, but this is clearly one. I've got 43 banners all around the church, all with the beautiful art inside, with a small little pithy saying to try to apply it to our life to celebrate our centenary year. I'm not sure if any parishioners ever made any comment, but there was a man I knew from New York who happened to be here for one of the big orchestral concerts. I think it was Handel's Messiah. He happened to be going out this door, and he saw that banner about God the Father's outstretched arm and the little saying. And as soon as he got in his car, he had to call me to say, I was incredibly touched to recognize as I was leaving the church that I am God the Father's beloved son and that he's got his arms outstretched for me. He noticed it immediately. What it points to me a little bit is that some of us who see things all the time can take the most important things for granted. And one of the things we take far more for granted than a banner with a message is the reality to which that banner points. That yes, that's how much loved we are. As St. Paul said in his letter to the Romans, if God the Father didn't even spare his own son but handed him over for us all, would he not give us everything else besides? When it came down to a choice between Jesus and you, God the Father chose you and allowed his son to die with his son's participation. That should send us babbling in streetcars, on sidewalks, in convents, in workplaces, in our home all day long.